Remember, thou art dust, and to dust you shall return. Remember that thou art dust, and to dust you shall return. Since the 6th century, these are the words that the Catholic priest, say as he put ashes on your forehead, the forehead of his congregants on Ash Wednesday. Since 1969, and those words were taken from the book of Genesis when God spoke to Adam and Eve after their transgression in the garden. Since 1969, those words have been changed and now use the words from Mark that says, repent and believe in the gospel, believe in the good news. Wednesday, as Bruce said, is the beginning of Lent. It's a time, as he said, of preparation, self-denial, reflection, repentance, and fasting. It's about cleansing one's inner self in preparation for what is to come. It's patterned after the story in the Bible of Jesus entering the desert for 40 days of that same thing. Repentance, reflection, denial, discernment for Jesus. In the movie The Last Temptation of Christ, there's a good scene, a scene that I like, on the depiction of this. It shows Jesus walking into the desert. Walks into the desert, and he picks up a stone, a big stone. And he draws this circle. He draws this circle with himself at the center. And he says, I'm not going to leave this circle. I'm not going to leave this place until you speak to me. No signs. Speak to me in human words. And he throws the rock and sits down. And he waits. And he waits. And as the days go by, he gets tired, famished. His will starts to droop. And it was at this time the devil comes in and tries to tempt him in his moment of weakness. I was going to talk a little bit about Lent and what it means, but Bruce did such a good job that I don't have to do that. It's a period of self-denial as he really alluded to, and many of us, I grew up Catholic and had the same feelings. Why am I doing this? Why? Maybe the only thing I want to add is that when I was growing up, it was kind of okay not to really forego things, but to use the Lenten season as a time to actually do good works, to be intentional about doing good works and seeking repentance, not just self-denial and fasting. It's actually kind of similar to Ramadan in a way. Ramadan came later, maybe in the 7th century. But Christians used to fast all day until sundown, the whole period of Lent. And that's what Muslims do during the holy month of Ramadan. They fast all day, breaking their fast at sundown. And it's also, Lenten season is also somewhat similar to Yom Kippur. Especially High Holy Days in the Judaic tradition, especially the 10 days leading up to Yom Kippur, which is the Day of Atonement. You spend those 10 days in reflection, repenting for the things that you've done, your less desirable things. Along the journey of life, we can't escape our shadow. Our shadow side. We can deny it. We can walk in darkness. We can walk in darkness where we can't see our shadow. But we know full well that once we step into the light, there it is, our shadow, or our shadow side that begs for forgiveness. Why do we really need to ask for forgiveness? What's done is done. What's in the past? We can't change what's in the past. Why do I need to forgive? Why do I need forgiveness? Shouldn't we just move on? Well, we, you use, believe in the interdependent web of all existence, and that we are a part of that interdependent web. What we do affects everything else. Everything matters. Our acts of transgression, our acts of forgiveness, repentance, everything matters. We are the caretakers and co-creators of the web, of the universe. That's a lot of responsibility, isn't it? So what's done is done? No, we can't say what's done is done. It is our duty to stop, to turn back, to return and repair, the web, repair what we've done. And in one way, and in a larger way, when we do a reparation of one small thing that we've done, we were actually repairing everything else, because it's all connected and everything matters. All the little things, all the small things, all the reparations that we do, all those small acts just reverberate like ripples in a pond. I challenge you, go home today. Sit someplace quietly and draw a circle around yourself. Draw a circle around yourself and say, I'm not going to leave this circle. I'm not going to leave this place until you speak to me. And listen to the voice of your shadow side and what it is telling you. The deepest recesses of your very being, often the part that you choose to deny in darkness. What does your shadow side say to you? Well, here's what my shadow side says to me. David, you've been complicit in the environmental degradation and unsustainability of this planet. David, you've been complicit in the perpetuation of white supremacy and for not using your privilege to advocate for those who haven't had the benefit of having that privilege. David, you've been complicit in the blaming of others, for example, law enforcement or military personnel, who've been put in untenable situations at the front lines of the mess created on your behalf. David, you've been complicit in the erosion of our democracy and public institutions by not doing your true civic duty to the best of your ability. David, you've been complicit in the erosion of our economy and the marginalization of working people, future generations, for not exercising your duty to battle income inequality. David, you've been complicit with our government's use of force, war, drone strikes, bombings, all in order to protect our interests. You've been complicit in accepting that the ends can justify these means. David, you've been complicit in the marginalization of the people of the world by allowing them to make our iPhones, clothing, etc., without thought of the conditions under which these products are made, out of sight, out of mind. David, you've been complicit in the lack of giving of time, talent, and treasure to your church. You allowed others to carry the load for many, many years. David, your relative privilege and comfort have made it convenient and easy for you to look the other way in all these things. Damn, that's a long list. Now, I wrote that all out for you, but really, those ideas, all of them, they came to me in just a minute or two, just the ideas of them. They came in a minute. It took half an hour to write them all out, but really, they came in a minute. So if you sit by yourself, you'll feel some of the same things and other things. If you're surprised at how long your list is, or if you feel like your conscience is clear and have no list, then you likely, really likely haven't been doing any reflection prior to this point. And although our list, your list, might be painfully, painfully long, if we seek repentance, you need to forgive yourself. You need to go easy on yourself. If you're willing to commit to righting these wrongs. As we've heard Unitarian minister Theodore Parker say many times, where he said that the arc of the moral universe is long, but it bends towards justice. Well, the arc of the moral universe is a lot longer than, relatively speaking, the arc of our personal lives. But let's think about it. What is the arc of your life? What might it bend toward? In this Lenten season, many might seek that the arc of their lives bends towards repentance. And although that's nice, I believe it's kind of unhealthy to have it just bend towards repentance at this time of season. Because repentance is merely part of a larger whole. Repentance and forgiveness of others, they go hand in hand. A few weeks ago, I mentioned a line. I said that everybody, it's a famous line, I don't even know who said it, but everybody wants to go to heaven, but nobody wants to die. In a similar manner, everybody wants forgiveness for themselves, but we really don't necessarily want to forgive others. So let's think about this. What does it mean if you want to be forgiven, but you're really not, you're really kind of, you need to be convinced to grant forgiveness for others? What does that mean? What does that say about oneself? A person who's oriented as such might say, well, you know, I need to have my burden lifted, but I'm really okay with you carrying your burden and guilt for as long and as far as possible. I want my leaky boat to be fixed, but I'm more than willing to say a serves you right when I point out your leaky boats. Is it the orientation of one oriented to the me rather than the we? Rather than looking at things as binaries, and Bruce was talking about this, looking at things as binaries or as conceptually distinct. There's forgiveness of others, there's forgiveness of me, there's good, there's bad, there's right, there's wrong. Taoism tries to reach beyond those kinds of conceptualizations and sees forgiveness of others and repentance as the same thing. The yin and yang of one thing. They're not separate things. It's the same thing. Kind of like what Nietzsche was saying. If you want this one thing, it comes at the expense of another thing. You can't get this without that. So to me, if you think forgiveness of others and repentance of yourself are the same thing, and I think that they are. Forgiveness of others, or for yourself, is impossible without forgiving others. You don't get to have forgiveness unless you forgive others, because they're the same thing. In our reading this morning, Gregory Bright realized that his inability to forgive people, a system and people who kept him incarcerated for 27 and one half years for a crime he never committed. His inability to forgive them was just, he found that that was what was eating away at his very being. And he writes, again, this is from the reading. I didn't recognize it then, but my healing began at the lowest point when my pain was absolute. Forgiveness began when pain was everything I looked at, everything I heard. Forgiveness became a picture in my mind of a fork in the road with signs telling me what lies ahead. One side said, everything is going to be the same. If I stayed in that frame of mind, that frame of hatred, I'd experience nothing but confusion and violence. And the other side said, cleansing. Once I chose to walk that road of cleansing, I began dropping frustrations. And I felt that weight lifting. That's how forgiveness has been in my experience. Some relief came then and some still comes now. When I finally got out of bed after my mom died, a calm came over me. It was a pleasure to step beyond what was happening all around me. I couldn't change the thing. I had to forgive. But I could change if I forgave. I couldn't change the things I had to forgive, but I could change if I forgave. Many of you are likely carrying around some horrible things that have happened to you, that have been done to you by others. We can assume it to be true. We just know it's in the room. Physical, emotional, sexual abuse, violence, discrimination, injustice. Mr. Bright spent 27 and a half years incarcerated for something he didn't do, and yet he chose this path of cleansing and forgiveness of others. Keep in mind that he made this decision while he was still incarcerated. He was, I think, 9 years into his 27-year sentence when he chose that path. He thought that he would be dying in prison, yet he forgave the people who had him incarcerated. That is, I can't even imagine that. Taoist philosopher Lao Tzu says, if you blame someone else, there is no end to the blame. Therefore, the master fills her own obligations. She does what she needs to do and demands nothing from others. Demands nothing from others. Can we forgive someone without expecting anything in return? Is your forgiveness conditional in some way? I'll maintain if it's conditional, it's not forgiveness. It's not forgiveness. It's something else, something worthy of reflection and study. Because forgiveness has to be unconditional. That's Mr. Bright's point. He wasn't really looking for forgiveness. He was at the bottom. He, at this lowest point, chose this path of cleansing, and he realized that just unconditional forgiveness was the only way forward in that path of cleansing. That's what he found. And through that, he felt a weight lifted from him and a wave of calm roll over him. And it allowed him to step up and step beyond. And as you journey through life, may the arc of your life bend toward and surrender to repentance and unconditional forgiveness of others. They're the same thing. They're one and the same. May it give you peace. And may it allow you to rise up and step beyond.